Welcome to this week's episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. Thanks for tuning in. This is our 210th episode, so it's a pretty exciting, nice, even number for us to start spring with up here in the Pacific Northwest. We've got blossoms happening on all of our fruit trees and, of course, pollens everywhere, and we've started to do some yard work. Get out there and kind of see what's happening in this yard in the springtime. We've got all the birds returning, and, of course, my favorite bees are all back, so they're all out pollinating the trees, so hopefully we'll have a lot of fruit and a lot of happy flowers and definitely a lot of happy bees this summer. As I was watching those bees working in the garden, I noticed that there's just an interesting pattern to the way they work, and they kind of move from flower to flower. Sometimes they skip over flowers, sometimes they come back to a different flower. And I sort of related that to inspiration. And how does each bee decide where it's going to go to what flower? Is it a simple just move on to the next flower? And if that's so, then why would they skip certain flowers? Or is there an inspirational moment that they have? And I know there's a lot of people out there who think bees don't necessarily have inspiration because they're not people, but I think everything that's got some sort of life has an inspiration to do something, even if it's heavily encoded in their DNA. There's moments of creativity and insight in all creatures. So as I watched that bee kind of move from flower to flower, I really got to wonder, what inspires it to move on to the next flower? What inspires it to choose one flower over another flower? Because in a lot of ways, that's how our photography is. We're inspired to make a photograph. We're inspired to see something, to take something, to capture something, to edit something. And so that led me to this week's kind of topic for the podcast, was this notion of inspiration and work. Inspiration is one of those topics that comes up over and over again when I'm working on my own work. When I'm not working on my own work, it comes up even more. And when I'm talking to a lot of my artist friends, we talk a lot about how do we view inspiration and how does each of us respond to what we deem is to be inspiration. And the interesting thing is all of us sort of approach it differently and all of us think about it a little bit differently. And that's one of the things I think for you this week that would be interesting is to really kind of sort of have a hard conversation with yourself about how inspiration actually manifests itself in your work. Because for some people, they describe inspiration as this moment of excitement that happens. They just all of a sudden get engaged and they decide to do something and wonderful things happen. And other people will describe it as it's a lot of hard work. They have to make sure that they're up painting every day or they write. You know, Stephen King talks about that. Inspiration comes from writing 8 hours a day. Some of my painter friends talk about inspiration comes from paint being on the canvas. And then as colors start to meld and swirl together, they get inspired. Other people talk about how they actually read something and that inspires them. So whatever it is, everybody's kind of got a different relationship. But one of the things that I think is consistent there, regardless of how people talk about it, is there's actually an action involved in inspiration. As we start to work, something changes in us in our approach and we start to feel inspired. We start to feel connected and engaged. In some cases, I think for some people, it probably doesn't require as much work. They are able to just kind of show up at their studio and pick up a paintbrush and start painting. Other people, maybe it's the act of going out into nature and they paint or they photograph in nature. Or some people might be setting up a still life. Whatever it is, there's some little action involved in that. Or it's a ritual they go through that on the days they're going to do something creative, they get up and they have certain clothes they put on. They have a certain coffee cup they drink out of. Whatever it is, doesn't really matter. The point is there's something actionable that happens that sets up the ability for us to feel inspired to create. And that alone is some work. That alone in figuring that out is important because I think at the one of the core elements of inspiration is ritual. When you look at artists, when you look at photographers who repeat the same things over and over again and who are successful at creating work over and over again, oftentimes they refer to a ritual. And even if they don't call it a ritual, they describe the things they do to get prepared, the things they do to move forward in their day. They get out the same camera. They pack their camera gear. Maybe they pack it the night before. Maybe they pack it the morning of. Or maybe they say, oh, well, usually my work's really heavy, and today I just wanted to travel light, so I just grabbed the one camera I always take out with me when I just feel like going on walkabout. Whatever it is, there is some ritual there. And that's the piece about the work that I think needs to come in when we talk about inspiration and work. The inspiration is going to happen for you however it happens. And I don't think necessarily we're in complete control of how inspiration manifests itself and what comes out of that inspiration. As photographers, we're responding a lot to how we see the world and the things we think that have interest, value, beauty, context, subtext, whatever we're working on in photography. But that's what's happening externally. That's outside of us. The work of inspiration comes internally. It comes from inside of us. And so as we're working on figuring out how do we get to inspiration, what are the things we do that when we have felt inspired, what happened and transpired before then? Because one of the things I don't think is valuable is disrupting the inspirational process. But I think understanding what it takes to get us into a spot where we are most likely to feel inspired is critical. So like painters who go to the studio and pick up that paintbrush and just throw paint on the canvas, as a photographer, as a creative writer, as a whatever you are, however you are today in your creativity, as you go to that back to that camera, as you pick that up, what got you to the point of actually making the work? And if you look back at your photographs, look back at the history of your work creating photographs and see, is there, when you are feeling inspired, when you are feeling connected, is there a ritual you go through? Is there something that you repeat on a regular basis? I know for me, when I'm actually reading, in reading anything, novels, science books, whatever it is, when I'm reading, when I actually write things down in a journal, when I take notes, I start to feel inspired. When I get up in the morning and the weather's great and I get to step outside and have a cup of coffee in the morning, I have my camera sitting next to me and I just photograph random stupid stuff in the yard that will never make the portfolio, that starts to build inspiration. When I get the chance to actually get in the darkroom and actually make prints, there's nothing more inspiring to me probably than actually making photographs. Not the taking of the photograph, but the actual finishing of the photograph, the creation of the print, the final element of the photographic process in my world is that print. So to get to that point is hugely inspiring. It creates a different energy and a different buzz inside my head that provides the fuel in the tank to move forward. So the work is about figuring out those moments and then documenting what those moments are so that we can repeat those moments. Because if you knew every day that you were going to get up, you had a cup of tea, you read your favorite book of poetry, you picked up your camera, it was one camera, you didn't have to pack up a bunch of equipment, you went out and you were having a great day photographically. And every time you did that, you made great photographs. It wouldn't matter where you went in the world, it wouldn't matter what you were going to photograph, you could set that same regimen up over and over again. If you're going to go out and work on a big shoot, a commercial shoot, a wedding, whatever kind of photography you do, and you knew that having all of your equipment in the right place, at the right time, charged, batteries good to go, made it easier for you. You were more relaxed. You felt more creative. That's inspiration. So to know that ahead of time, you had a checklist and you packed all of your equipment and you put it in the right bag, you had it in the right place, you had charged all your batteries the night before, that becomes inspiration. That becomes the thing that makes you ultimately creative. Now, in terms of the inspiration to what comes out and into the photograph and how we see, I think that's a second type of inspiration. But the inspiration to get there, the inspiration to make the work, comes from understanding and recognizing what inspired us to pick up the camera in the first place. And I don't think that's dumb luck, and I don't think that's a matter of just always carry your camera. I have weeks sometimes where I've gone where I haven't taken anything that I would consider to be a meaningful photograph, but there is always a camera in my camera bag. And it's always sitting in there. The battery's always charged. It always has a memory card. I'll even take it out sometimes and carry it around all day. So the act of having the camera present for me is not enough to make the inspiration to make the photograph. Other things had to be bundled around that. Other things had to be recognized as important. And like I said, for every one of us, for each of us, it's an individualized response. I think one of the things that people dismiss is the power of community. So sometimes when you talk to people, they're like, oh, I get these, when I go on a photo trip, or I go to a conference, or I go to a photo club, or I get together with two or three of my friends who are photographers, and we go on a road trip together, I get such great photographs. Maybe part of your inspiration is the energy that comes off other inspired people. And if that was the case, then you could just find local artists. Maybe do artist studio tours. Maybe create a project where you're doing portraits of local artists in your area so you get to engage with that community in a different way, because that's the inspirational part to help you get to making meaningful photographs behind the camera. But the idea of figuring out the inspiration is not going to destroy the inspiration. The idea of understanding the work it takes to get good photographs is not going to make good photographs no longer happen. But it does get us in that ability to touch on an access point, to feel something in a way that we have some control over making happen over and over again. If you knew that special coffee cup, if you knew a cool sweatshirt and your favorite pair of walking shoes and a camera that didn't require you to carry a backpack was going to result in you making great photographs every day, why wouldn't you do that? But if you don't know what coffee mug you need, and you don't know what tennis shoes to wear, and you don't know what camera lens you need, it's going to seem drudgery sometimes. We need to reward our creativity. We need to reward and repeat the things that made us feel creative. In some ways, you may think, well, I just want it to happen naturally. Well, that's great. That just means you're going to have it happen less often. Because most of the time, we respond to the stimulus of the world around us. We respond to the things that make us feel a certain way. So why not spend the time to really look at what makes you feel the most creative? What makes you feel the most inspired? And if you haven't felt inspired in a while, start small and start to recognize anything that upticks your creativity, that makes you want to do something. Like I said, maybe it's a pencil. Maybe you got a certain pencil you like to write with, a certain pen. I have a very special fountain pen that I love to write with. It doesn't matter what I write with that fountain pen. It just feels smarter, more creative, and better. Even if I'm just signing my name on a check, I love that pen. So to write with that pen is so critical to the creative experience for me. So recognizing any of those small things can help you maybe take that step from I don't feel inspired anytime to I feel inspiration a lot of the time. And that's the work, figuring out what you need to do to get to that point. So as you think about that this week, I hope you spend some time to actually write that down and try that out. See what little things that you could change in your habits of going out to photograph, going out to take pictures, getting ready to take pictures. What little things in there could you do that just kind of make that feel a little bit more uplifting? And you might be surprised at the type of photographs you get. Hope you have a great week. Hope you get a chance to get out there and actually make some photographs. Hope you get a chance to get time with family, friends, and loved ones. Don't forget to tell them how important they are to you. And you can always find us up on iTunes, Spotify, Podcast Town, wherever podcasts are found. You can find us around there. And I will see you next time.